At this time, I'd like to introduce our first speaker. And Sharon is one of those women that I know in from recovery and from H&I and has been important in my network. And this is Sharon from east of the river area, H&I.
I told her the podium was high as me, so they're going to have to put them mics down. And I have to start off with being totally honest, because when our regional chair called me and asked me would I be a speaker for H&I, the regional H&I, I told them, I say, well, I've been to the convention 15 times, and I really wasn't trying to speak until I was the main speaker for the Friday or Saturday night meeting. So I say, I'll guess, I'll use this tape to set myself up to be the main speaker one Friday or Saturday. He was laughing so hard. He said, yourself? I said, yeah. But this H&I commitment to me has really been a blessing. I joined H&I when I was 30 days clean. To find out, the process was I was 41. I had been in and out of detox since 1980, 19 times. Nothing was working. H&I was coming the 19 times. But what I told them when they kept seeing me in detox, I told them, I said, y'all said keep coming back. But they were talking about to the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous, not detox. So I had to tell y'all something why I kept showing up in detox. It's just that I couldn't stop using. My story is I'm from an area at the end called Valley Green. It's in Washington, D.C., southeast. And to describe where I was living at, it was like New Jack City to the third level. And I lived there for a very long time, so I got adjusted to the area I was living in. That's maybe why the 19 times didn't work, because each time I got out of detox, I had to go back to Valley Green. But when I was 41, and I was on methadone, the Shack methadone clinic. It was for me the seventh time being on meth. Nothing was working, y'all. I've been in St. Elizabeth KDAC program twice, outpatient. That didn't work. The meth didn't work because I was on a cycle where I get on meth to get off dope, and I get on dope to get off of meth. So this seventh time on meth, I really didn't know exactly the value of keep coming back. But how y'all got me, my story is, I didn't come in here trying to change my life. I didn't come in here try to stop using. I told you where I live. I didn't come in here chasing a man or a woman. I ain't coming here for my kids to love and accept me again at 41. I only came to y'all because y'all had coffee. That's why they call me Two Cups. See, you never know what God is going to use to get your attention. I was getting my meth, buying my pills, and y'all had coffee and tea. I had a crack house in Valley Green. We ain't had food, more or less coffee and tea. But when you're drinking something warm, it interacts with the meth and pills faster. So what happened is I got y'all because when the first cup I was, you know, getting my meth and the pills, the nod to come on, and then I would be nodding and my coffee drop. I say, I'll fix y'all. I start making two cups. Because I know when the first cup fall, I'll have another one. So y'all was getting them up, moving the cheese, and I come up off my nod. I say, I'm all right. I got another cup right here. And then y'all going to ask me this question, which y'all already knew, why I made two cups. Y'all going to say, why you make two cups? I had an answer for y'all. I said, I make two cups because when a person's sharing, I don't want to get up and interrupt and be walking. And hey, I got something for y'all. 41 now, and I'm using my at added, you know, wisdom to think I'm getting over on y'all, but y'all knew. But the process was in nodding, dropping coffee. That's why I still stick with two cups. I joined H&I when I was 30 days clean. And when they say you have to give back what was freely given to you, I thought them 19 times I was in detox because I helped a lot of people. I helped a lot, man. 19 times, the nurses used to bring people that were scared and fearful and didn't know how the detox went. Bring them to me. I'll sit down and talk to them. I say, it's a better way to live. I say, you can get out here and change your life and stop. And they did. When the nurse kept seeing me coming back, they said, you can help everybody but yourself. Because I was kept a revolving door. I know I had something to do with Medicaid going out of money. But it wasn't until I was in the meth program and I was coming up with dirty cocaine that they sent me to detox over D.C. Journal. Man, that was like Upper Marlboro Jail. What I found out then, I was cussing my counselor out in the meth program because they were still taking us to get to our meth, but I was going there for the cocaine dirty. So I said, I'm going to cuss my casework out. I got Medicaid. You know, I can stay for 2 weeks in the Washington Hospital Center, you know, Greater Southeast, or, you know, somewhere nice. It was like the Montgomery Jail in that detox at D.C. General. But I never been back there. I couldn't wait to get out of detox and come to the meeting that I was dropping the coffee on. So after the speaker shared, I say, I'm just getting out of detox. It was a guy sharing, I love him to death today, because if he had not said what he said, I probably would not have made the effort to come off the mount. I say, yeah, I just got out of detox. And all of them, they saw me nodding, dropping the coffee. They say, yeah, shorty, you off the mouth. I say, no, I'm off the cocaine. And what he said to me that day was, baby, that's half measure. Man, y'all talking about somebody pissed. I looked at him, and I told him later, if I had been a dude, I would have waited outside that meeting. As soon as he came out the door, I would have stole him. Because he hurt me just that bad, saying I was half measuring. I say, I'm off the cane. You know, what more you want? So with him saying that to me, it motivated me to come off the meth and to go all the way with this program with Narcotics Anonymous. There came a day of time I came off of the meth. It was by force, not by choice. I had been to so many meetings nodding and dropping the coffee that it had became accustomed to doing that. Y'all was giving me information like, won't you hold your mouth? I got take home for the first time in 7 times on mouth. So I was holding it. And I took it one day because a girlfriend of mine had missed. She had been locked up. She had already been medicated, so I had 3 bottles of mouth. When I went to eat with my meth buddies, I went to smoke a cigarette, and I had the meth in my pocketbook. And one of these girlfriends of mine said, I'll walk you to the bus stop. I said, wow, I know she wasn't gay, but I said, okay. She was real friendly. So when I got home, I started feeling aches and pain, breaking out in sweats. My bones started aching. I couldn't lay down. I was up all the night, most of the night. So I went to take a swallow of meth, and when I looked in my pocketbook, it was gone. That's a pain I want to remember. I want to remember, and I think this was has stopped me from going back on that direction of using, because I was in so much pain. I was up all the night. So I couldn't wait to get back until the next day to find out which one of the 5 girls that was eating with me took my meth. I said, I'm going to kill them, because I could have died. I stopped on 15 milligrams. The pain was just that great. But anyway, when I got there, somebody else had told me who had walked me to the bus stop was sitting by my pocketbook when I went out to smoke. I said, good, she my size, and I could really probably tear her up. Instead of fighting all 4 of them, to one of them say, I think I know who got it or I got it. But anyway, in that process, I told her I ain't had meth in 3 days, and I was telling the girl that told me who had took it that, you know, I've been up all night and my bones aching. I feel real sick. And somebody overheard me telling I hadn't had meth. And they say they have to go get the bottles in order for me to get a refill of medication. So as she left to go get me some bottles so I can get medicated, my friend said, Sharon, if she bring the bottles back and you get medicated, you're going to have to start all over, you know, what you've been through, you know, for these 3 days. That made sense. So I couldn't wait to walk in that same meeting where the guy said had measures. So when they said anybody would clean for 24 hours, you know, I stood up the whole, it was like 100 people at that meeting that knew me and seen my process with the 2 cups of coffee. You know, they stood up. And thank God I got a sponsor, y'all, when I was 3 days clean. I was so scared. I got another sponsor when I was 4 days clean. And what I found out is that the first one I got is just what God had intended for me to have, because when you ask people to sponsor you, you're asking people to come into your life. And my sponsor was already on H&I. So when I got 30 days, I made it my business to give back what was freely given to me. The 19 times they kept coming over to give me the message. And I found out, and I'm just finding out, that then one of the nurses, I was in detox 11 times. I always thought when they say mental illness that they mean you're crazy. She had to pull me up. She said, no. This is the one that told me I can help everybody else but myself when I was on H&I. She said, baby, mental illness just means abnormal behavior. She said, it's the 11th time you've been in here from shooting dope from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. That's abnormal behavior. So what I found out is it ain't that bad to be mentally ill. I mean, I can identify and how God has a sense of humor. I became a mental health counselor for 11 years. You know, and my clients were saying I was more crazier than them. That's because I could identify. Because the things I did when I was using, I had to be abnormal. To do yourself with a needle for 2 hours, getting something in you might not feel. Huh. I've been on public assistance 26 years. Ain't that abnormal? I say my concept was the Lord leads you in the way it says feed you. So what I found out since joining H&I is I can help somebody and help myself in return. It's a lot of time I went to H&I meetings, and I found out that the people in treatment helped me more than the people in the open discussion meeting. Because they bring it from the still suffering addicts. I've been on H&I since I was 30 days clean. I now have 16 years and 3 months and still on H&I. And that area, New Jack City to the third level, I'm still there. Now, I used to be the problem. I'm part of the solution now. Vice President of the Tenant Association. The first property, low income, in Washington, D.C., that went green. Just show you how God will work if you put the effort to just stay clean. We built our own playground, the tenants. See how God has switched things? I thought I had to move from Valley Green in order to get clean. But joining H&I, went right to the same detox. I went to the meth clinics that I was on meth. I went to women and children in treatment because my kids are grown, but I messed their life up through the process of what I did to my son. So H&I has taught me to grow up, and it's about giving back what y'all gave to me freely. Y'all ain't say you got to pay $50 for 30 days. Y'all ain't say your first year you got to give $100. Y'all gave me the joy of living for free. Now, I spent a lot of money in my 30-something years of using. This fellowship gave me what I have today for free. I ain't got to pay nobody. I ain't got to do nothing. All I got to do is stay clean. I don't think I'm ever, somebody told me, you've been on H&I too long. How can you ever, ever leave something that will help save your life. Gave you a second chance of life. That's what H&I did for me. I love it to death. I wish somebody would try to get me off of it. That Valley Green, it come right back. I tell them, you know, it ain't going nowhere. It's just arrested. I found myself one time finding my ring that I used to hit, and they put a knot on your head. Somebody talking stuff. I love H&I. And you get to meet people like Valerie, Scott, our chair of East of the River is here. And I know he came, you know, as support for the vice chair. I'm the vice chair, but I've been the chair before. But I love it, y'all. I can't see nothing other than H&I. This room should be full. Yes. This room, every year, this room should be full because most people learn Narcotics Anonymous through hospitals and institutions. It's like, how dare you forget our 12 step? It has H&I in the 12 step. A good way of giving back what was freely given through you is through H&I. Service work has its reward, and I'm living proof. In the same area I used then, been in H&I 16 years and 3 months, and I'm still, if NA asked me to do anything, I would do it. But let a man ask me to do anything, huh? They got troubles because H&I is something that NA, I know it's God, or because someone shared one time at a learning day about it being, if we go to a meeting and it's as small, the faith of a person in treatment is small as a mustard seed, then we're accomplishing our purpose. Using me sharing, I'm in the same place I use, help a lot of people. Because if they think it's no hope, H&I bring hope to Narcotics Anonymous and to the people in treatment that don't even know. Some of them have no clue that they can stop losing, lose the desire. Now, that's hard. And find a new way to live. So that's what H&I has done for me, and that's why I go all the time. I'm still in service, and I'm going to keep showing up for life. Because I love this program of Narcotics Anonymous, and I love H&I, and I love you people that was there for me then, and that's there for me now. So, I got more time. Hey, let me tell y'all about this story. But you see, also, this is Narcotics Anonymous. That same girl that I said stole my mouth, I was coming in meetings, you know, once I got my 24 hours. I was saying, if I see him, a killer, because I could have died. Y'all was telling me, she an addict, just like you. You ain't never steal nothing when you was using. Y'all kept telling me, leave her alone. God kept her out of my path until my first year. I was on my way to someone that had passed in this fellowship, and I seen her. God knows. I could not have beat her as bad as she did herself. This girl was tore down from the floor down. She walked up to me and asked me for a dollar. I gave her a dollar. I let her go on her way, and I'm thinking how God will work for us when we can't, you know, do stuff for ourselves. He has allowed her to carry herself down like that. She looked like a bum, scum, and some more. Scars all on her face, but how God worked. Also, on my 5th year anniversary, she came. She said she was on the bus getting out of detox, and somebody told her I was celebrating 5 years. After my anniversary, she walked up to me. She said, I'm just getting out of detox. I have 90 days clean. Would you sponsor me? I get so emotional because I feel it. I hug this girl. I say, it would be an honor. It would be a privilege to sponsor you. Because if it had not been for what you did, I would not be celebrating 5 years. And ever since then, me and her has been to all the conventions together. She's been dead like 4 years now. But me and her family at her funeral, her daughter walked up to me. She said, "Thank you so much for giving me my mother." She had a house, she had a job, she was traveling, all that. And I was a part of her life. See how God worked from wanting to kill her to loving and cherishing her for what she did. Accepting, y'all told me I had to accept her if she's an addict. And every anniversary I shared that with her, she always, I never said who the person was. I said, I'm here only because someone stole my milk. But every time being my sponsees that she would come up, she say she's talking about me. And that would interact people that's there, that have resentment against other people, holding on to stuff, seeing how me and her bond and the love we have for each other. So God is good, and he can change it. He can change it like living in Valley Green to becoming the vice president of the 10 years old. See how he changed that? All I did was stay clean, y'all. That's the main project. East of the river, we accept people that's coming out of treatment to join us. Because the sooner they start giving it back, you can have 24 hours in one of the books and help somebody. Somebody ain't got no time. So 24 hours is a lot of time for somebody. So we encourage people to come and join and give it back. God is so good that I know, without a shadow of doubt, if it had not been for H and I'd probably be OD in jail. I wouldn't be here. So the coffee got me here. Now it's things like wanting to help the newcomer that's keeping me here. That's why I stay here, and I'm always helpful. They call me newcomer friendly. I am. And I want to continue to be. I don't care how much time I got. I want to be always open to the one just coming in. I want to feel just like a just for today. That's my most important chip. It ain't the multiple 16 years. My 24 hour is my most important chip. Because I didn't think I could live for 2 minutes without using something. All day, every day. Meth, dope, pills, you know, smoking crack all my house, crack house. So I was using 24/7. So today I ain't got to live like that. Today I'm an example for those still in Valley Green that continue to use. And they notice me. I said, "I'm getting ready to celebrate 5 years. I'm on 10. They be so proud of me, y'all. My son friends that used to sell crack out my house, they put together to buy me my 3rd year anniversary cake. See? And they noticed, because everybody else had to move from Valley Green to get clean. You know, they had to get clean and move. But I stayed in there, and I showed them that it doesn't matter where you at. Once you're making the choice you don't want to use no more, that's it. And keep coming to meetings to get information on how to stay clean. Once I disconnect with Narcotics Anonymous or H&I, that's all she wrote. I be telling people in the meeting, if I use and make a choice to use, don't come looking for me talking about, "Oh, you can make it if you want, take it." I don't want to hear it, because I have made a conscious decision that that's the way I'm going out. Like now I'm making a conscious decision, I want to die clean. And just to let you know what I go through being clean, I had a brother that was buried August the 27th, and I had a son that was 34 passed the following week, September the 3rd. A week apart, two most special men in my life. And I didn't use, and I stayed connected with H. I still went to H&I meetings because I assumed that God, if he keep waking me up, he ain't waking me up. If I use, my brother or my son ain't coming back. So I hold on, and I kept staying in position. And I know if God keep waking me up, he got a purpose for me. Most people 6 months apart. Mine was a week apart. And I ain't used. So it's no excuse. No excuse. I'm here to report, and God is good. I hadn't lost a beat since losing them. As a matter of fact, I got both of their ashes with me, and I'm going to have a ceremony tomorrow. And I'm going to stay out here because both of them been a part of this program. So that's how God been working in my life. And no regrets. I know I'm putting them somewhere every year. I keep coming back. I know they out there in the water. So God is good, and I keep coming back, and I stay in position.
Yes, sir.
And H&I is one of the positions that I never want to leave. So thanks for letting me share.